Are young people ready for the world of work? After all, these are shaky times for entire sectors of the job market. Next on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with a woman who is helping to prepare young workers, not just in the United States, but around the world. That conversation starts now.
Hello, and thanks for listening. We hear about, and maybe talk about, millennials quite a lot. And why not, right? A millennial recently said to me, in the workplace, this is real, "Come on, Jason, everybody knows Gen Xers are lazy." So I smugly sipped from my Nirvana coffee cup and turned back to my Facebook page. But seriously, that really happened, by the way. Unemployment is a monthly thing that happens. We all get the numbers and then we get worried. But there's no lack of opportunity, definitely a lack of relevant education, though. Industries like the tech sector specifically, and oil and gas and energy, even franchising, are making grand efforts to get more employees who are educated in the necessary skill set. We're teaching skills, but not the business context. Well, one person is. Next is my interview with Jennifer Cushell. She's the co-author of the New York Times bestseller, Secrets of the Young and Successful. Now, here's the fun subtitle that goes with that: How to Get Everything You Want Without Waiting a Lifetime. All right, here we go.
Jennifer Cushell, I'm the CEO of Young and Successful Media, and we also run YSN.com.
Tell me a little bit more about your company, its take on things, and then we're going to unpack a recent speech you gave.
Yeah, so we have a company called YSN and Young and Successful Media. YSN stands for Your Success Now, and we basically exist to support all the young people in the world who are entering the labor force, trying to figure out what they want to do, how to fit into the world, build companies, build organizations, pursue activism, and really find their success and build stability for their lives and the things that are important to them.
Now, obviously, you're satisfying a market opportunity, a market want with this. I'm a Gen Xer, of a certain age. What did you see, and why did you pivot this way towards the younger generation entering the labor force?
I actually am Gen X, too. And when I started, I was very focused on young entrepreneurs. I had been one since I was 13. By the time I was 19, there was still no one treating us seriously. And it was very hard a few years ago. It doesn't seem feasible right now because young entrepreneurs are everything now. They're so celebrated, but especially here in San Francisco. But only like 10, 20 years ago, young entrepreneurs really had to fight for a voice. And so I became one of the first people really kicking and screaming about that on radio, in the media, all over the world, about why young people had the chops to be real business owners. And so I started with Gen X, trying to focus on them and get them credibility and respect. And as I got older, this new generation came right behind.
Right.
And so the issues just became more interesting and more complex. And it wasn't just about entrepreneurship anymore. A lot of people do want to work for companies, and that's awesome. But transitioning from school and home into the workforce is really complicated. And I didn't see a lot of support out there.
It sounds like you were a little bit ahead of the game. And and it looks like the game caught up with you with this, which is fantastic.
Because, yeah.
I mean, we're talking with Jennifer Cushell. She's a New York Times bestselling author. Her new book, Secrets of the Young Successful. What I love about the subtitle is, without waiting a lifetime.
Yes.
That's key, isn't
yes.
it? Because these youngers are a little bit better educated than I was, a little bit more aggressive, if you will. Mm-hmm. I have a side hustle where I work with millennials and they outwork me if I'm not careful.
Awesome.
And it keeps me up. Keeps my game up, right? Is that what you're experiencing too? Is it seem to be more momentum in the millennials in the workplace?
I saw a lot of hunger in Gen X because, you know, we were latchkey kids and we really had to fight to earn credibility. I think the people in this generation have so many more resources than ever before, which is awesome. But they're really eager to make an impact in the world and do things that are interesting and innovative, especially here in San Francisco. This is such an amazing market. So I'm really excited about this new demographic because I think they have more possibilities than ever before.
Let's circle back on your recent travel around the world because you made a stop off in New York, I believe, right?
Yes,
I did.
And
you gave a recent speech at the United Nations?
Yep, just before I went to Bali.
Can you give us some of the talk points from that speech? I'd like to back that out of that.
I'm a youth advisor for the Sustainable Development Committee at the UN, and that's been a huge honor for me. The UN is obviously an extraordinary place to be. I had the opportunity to talk about global youth and how critical it is that we prepare them for the working world, because it doesn't matter whether you're working in emerging markets or first world markets like ours. The success of young people, whether they're refugees, whether they're coming out of Ivy Leagues, it's all the same. We have to make sure that young people are able to not only sustain themselves, but also give back to their communities and contribute in very positive ways. When kids don't have a good path, they will go and do bad things, drugs, crime, pregnancy, whatever it is, maybe even terrorism. And so it's essential that we all do what we can to prepare them at all different levels. And so I had the opportunity to talk to ministers and ambassadors and people who literally run governments. One woman I met, she literally presides over 51 countries that all have about 1.5 million people. And we talked about what can we do from a training and development standpoint to give their young people a fighting chance in the world and the chance to be successful.
Well, let's unpack that a little bit. What were some of the talk points you had with that minister when it comes to opportunities and providing resources for people that are, like you said, not in first world economies like we are here in the Bay Area?
Well, training and development is critical. Okay. A lot of people are not fully educated, which is one thing. But even those who are fully educated, I'm just coming out of a dean's conference, business school dean's conference. There's a lot of missing pieces. Even getting skills training, even getting a proper degree in education, it still doesn't prepare you fully for the workforce. There are soft skills, there are core competencies, there's a whole bunch of things about how you present yourself, package yourself, tell your story. How do you build your network? How do you present yourself? How do you understand what industries are? How to apply your value? How do you, you know, all these things that are not actually being taught to anyone. Right. And so it doesn't matter if you're in Lagos, Nigeria, or you're in El Salvador, or you're in, you know, Sri Lanka or Saudi Arabia. There is an issue because young people don't know how to best present themselves when they walk out. And they often really struggle to connect what they love and what they want to do with the actual reality of their lives.
Right.
And that's what we're really trying to drill down on. So when I talk at the UN, I talk about the importance of listening to young people, not treating them like sheep and herding them into training programs, but really listening to them, giving them a chance to talk about what they want, what they're interested in, helping them study and learn the things that they want to do, and encouraging them to be leaders in their communities and entrepreneurs.
Do you find that modeling works in this too, such as someone in a developing company might have a really lofty goal for themselves, right? But they've never seen anybody get to that point.
Yes.
So the work that has to happen in between. My family, my mom was the first person in our family to graduate from college. And without that, she had to pioneer that, right? So I modeled myself a little bit after that, you know, and I knew at least the broad strokes of how to get to the end, right, to get that baccalaureate. But are you finding that that is also very helpful, not just the training and not just the listening?
There's no question. What you're saying is so critical. Modeling is everything. You have to have context to know what's possible. You have to have examples to see that you can actually be just like, you know, some of these really successful people in the beginning. Most of them didn't have anything when they started. People have to fight their way from nothing to something. Mm-hmm. And so everything we do, from the books to the online course we have, Exploring Your Potential, to everything we create, it always has profiles and stories of people and what they did to get from the very beginning to the top of their game. And when I'm in El Salvador, I get mobbed. Mm-hmm. It takes me 4 hours to get out of a room. I'm trying to go to Pakistan right now. I literally have 1 million video views in Pakistan.
Right on.
In Lagos, Nigeria, they're begging me to come there because no one talks to them. Hmm. No one pays attention to them and says, listen, we believe in you as young leaders. We believe in your potential. And to hear that from someone in the United States who is, you know, kind of globally recognized, that means the world to them. So we can't even tell you the emails and the contacts that I get from all over the place, from young people who are so desperate to really make their mark in the world, but oftentimes just don't have the support or the acknowledgement that they need to get where they want to go.
Let's pivot just a little bit because I'm wondering about YSN.com. Yeah. And maybe you could tell me like a typical person who comes there and let's go through a use case.
Yeah.
So I am 28 years old. I've got my first gig underneath me, but I'm still kind of feeling unsatisfied, but I have an idea for a goal. Is that what I'm doing when I come to YSN?
Yeah. A lot of people are in their 20s. We pretty much see mostly people from 18 to 34, 35 who are in some sort of career transition. Usually they're ambitious. They're trying to get somewhere. They know that their life could be a lot better, a lot more interesting, or they have a goal and don't know how to get there. We create a lot of content, but most recently we've built an online course called Exploring Your Potential, which is literally the best of everything we've learned, everything that we've taught over 20 years. And it's a 4-course program that people can take online very simply. And it walks them through step by step. What are the things that you have to know to be successful in the world? And how do you pull it all together to really propel yourself forward in the career path that makes sense for you? And we'll even help you figure out what that is.
Right.
So we really fill in a lot of the connective tissue that's missing.
You know, it mentions in some of the language around your company and the site as well, it has to do with the new world of work and global opportunity, right? So we're not, thanks to some tools developed here in Silicon Valley and other places, of course, but we're not locally restricted anymore. right? Like, I'm from so way back. I'm from back east, where so many generations never left the coal mines.
Yeah.
Right. But now, like you said earlier at the top of the interview, these millennials, these younger workers have more tools and resources and access to them. Are you helping them hone the best return on the investment in those resources?
I believe we are. I think we're also more trying to open up their perspective on the world of opportunity, on the world of work, on the world of activism, and showing them that, you know, we're just a speck on the planet. You know, if we're in San Francisco, we're in California, we're in the United States, we're just a tiny part of the planet. There are 1 billion young people entering the working world right now, and we're competing with them. And they should be partners of ours, and they should be friends of ours, and we should be working collectively. There are innovation centers, not necessarily like Silicon Valley, but there are really dynamic innovation centers popping up all over the world. And oftentimes we don't recognize that or acknowledge it. And not all the new apps, not all the new technology is coming from here anymore. It's starting to come from Jordan, from Egypt. A lot of it's always come from Israel. Mm-hmm. But even Peru and Malaysia, they're working so hard to be innovation centers. I've seen things coming out of Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah. I've even seen online learning courses coming out of Afghanistan from women who can't even legally leave their home without being, you know, I don't know if it's legal, but I mean, they, you know, it's uncomfortable for them to leave their home, you know, unless they're 100% covered. But they're back in their homes in Afghanistan working on online programs. And the Taliban's like, what are you guys doing? But they're building things, and they're creating things. And there's been this huge movement. A lot of people here in Silicon Valley have actually traveled around the world to help build these ecosystems and build these support networks so that it's not isolated only here in California for us Americans. It is actually available to people all over the world now. And I've been a part of a lot of those State Department delegations, and that's been extraordinary to go to Tunisia and Algeria and Morocco and, you know, Dubai and Turkey and see those environments up front and personal, and see the people and the fire in those young people. There's nothing more extraordinary to me than that. And being able to influence them in a way that changes their lives, which could in turn change the lives of thousands or millions of people. I can't imagine anything more I'd rather do with my life.
I can feel the optimism coming out of that. And you're being fed by a really, I think it's wonderful. It's wonderful that you're able to take this knowledge and your decades of work with this. I think it's, and your best-selling book and your site, and go around the world and do this, because not all of us can. So,
yeah, of course. And it's taken me many years to even get to a place where I could travel like this. You know, I mean, I'm a social entrepreneur. I joke that I'm a premature philanthropist. I haven't had the money to fund everything. I've struggled all the way through to build resources. I've very rarely been properly funded to do the work that I'm doing. But it's really hard for me to say, hey, there's a community in Lagos, Nigeria that really needs our course, and our course is $200 or $300. How do I get it to them? I can't afford to pay for thousands of them to do it. So I'm starting to look at how can we work with foundations? How can we work with, you know, philanthropists? How can we facilitate their objectives with the tools and resources that we've built?
Right on. Well, it's YSN.com. And I kind of want to close with this question that I've been asking people with great perspective like you. Mm-hmm. A lot of experience in the workplace, in the labor force.
Yeah.
We have an automation wave coming this way. It's going to disrupt our labor force. Yeah. Unemployment is predicted anywhere between 15 and 25%, depending on the category. What do you think about this? And in a very macro way, I mean, how are we preparing for this, or are we preparing for this?
I think some people are preparing for it. Most people are not. Yes, there's a wave of innovation happening. There's a wave of technology that is changing the way work happens. I think a lot of people are trying to resist against it, and that's really naive and really not helpful. Everyone obviously needs to embrace technology, understand it's changing our lives every day. It will continue to for the foreseeable future. But I really think the best advice I have is think like an economist and act like an entrepreneur.
Hey.
Look at your market. Look at your economy. Look at what's happening. Really analyze it. See where the highs and lows are. See what's crashing. See what's rising. See what the emerging markets are. And be very entrepreneurial about finding your opportunities in it. That might mean for jobs. It might mean starting something. It might mean being a contractor, a freelancer, owning a franchise. I don't know what it is. But look at the range of things happening and be really strategic. You know, there are a lot of industries that are crashing right now, and it's because of technology in some cases. Or innovation. But that's not a bad thing. That's how economies work. It's all a matter of supply and demand. And things evolve. And when something crashes, other things open up. And the people who make the most amount of money in society are the ones who capitalize on downturned economies and downturned industries. They're the ones who see the opportunity in that downturn, and they do something with it.
That is a well-earned perspective from your experience in this space. Jennifer, this has been really fun. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Jason.
That was Jennifer Cashel. She's the co-author of the New York Times bestseller, Secrets of the Young and Successful. She stopped by the studio the day after dropping a speech at the United Nations about this very topic. For more on her, her book, and her program, check out kgoradio.com/techonomics. Just look for the article that accompanies this week's show and podcast. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.